2CC podcast.
Talking finance, financial talk back for Envision Financial. Luke Smith's in the studio with me. G'day, Luke. How are you?
Afternoon, Rod. How are we?
I'm well, thanks. And of course, our lines are open if you'd like any financial advice on 6255 1206 between now and 5 o'clock. Luke's here, ready, willing, and able to give you the answers to any questions you might have on investments or whatever. So I guess, what are you laughing at?
The whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. But no, seriously, superannuation is something you talk about quite a bit on this program, I know.
Mm.
And particularly the PSSAP. And the differences between that and the PSS and the CSS funds. Now, pardon all the acronyms, I'm sure you know what they are.
No, look, that's exactly right. So a couple of weeks back we spoke about the defined benefit schemes being CSS and PSS, and we had a lot of feedback from that particular show. So in following on from that, the PSSAP is the current offering for government employees, and it's simply an accumulation fund, which is very, very different. So CSS and PSS are defined benefits, which means they're calculated on actuarial figures and a range of different rules. The PSSAP is an accumulation plan, which is similar to all personal superannuation funds, where money is distributed or contributed to the fund, tax is taken out, and then it's invested in a specific investment option for the individual member.
What about the investment options of the PSSAP?
Yeah, look, good question. Like most funds, different funds have different offerings, and depending on what you need and what your circumstances dictate, the PSSAP fund is a fairly simple fund. It has four generic options. It doesn't allow you to buy shares, exchange-traded funds, and some of the other investment products that we've been talking about on the show. But as a basic bare-bones fund to hold your accumulated assets until you find what you want and what you need, it's a very good holding account over the short and medium term.
What about the comparisons here as far as is the fund cheap relative to others out there?
I think like most funds, it's one of those things that you get what you pay for. Where there are four investment options, they're fairly low admin membership fees. However, the investment cost, or the ICR, which was the acronym of the week a fortnight ago, which is the internal cost ratio, is 0.7, 0.73, so fairly average in the grand scheme of things. So I wouldn't say it's expensive. I think you're getting what you pay for.
The acronyms are good.
We have plenty of them in our industry.
You have a language all of your own, don't you?
We do. Sometimes it's a little hard to keep up with, but I think most fields have their own little problems.
Mm. Okay, let's remind people that the lines are open and you're ready and quite able to answer their questions, and whether it be on that or other financial investment advice. But getting back to the other one, can a fund purchase shares and other sector-specific assets like most personal super funds?
Well, as I touched on earlier, it is a fairly basic fund, so they have four generic options that is unitised, which means that you don't receive a physical income distribution from the individual option that you select. So with personal superannuation, and we've touched on this in previous shows, be it personal super or self-managed super, if you buy an Australian equity fund or a property fund, you can receive a regular dividend income that can be used to fund pension payments if you have retired, or to accumulate the value of your account if you're still in accumulation phase. So they don't actually make a physical income distribution, and you can't actually buy shares. So again, it comes back to, it is very simple, it is very basic, and generally there are a number of funds that are available in the market, and we've touched on a few in previous shows, that can give you some more flexibility and some more control over the income, the tax profile, the use of franking credits, and some other little tidbits that can maximise the longevity of your capital and the overall return from your portfolio.
Okay, 6255 1206, Luke Smith in the studio from Envision Financial. Does the fund offer insurance cover to its members?
Yes, it does. You can have insurance, and it is a default option when you become a member of the PSSAP. As we've touched on in the past, and we spoke on income protection last fortnight, you really need to check the T's and C's. You need to check your benefit periods, you need to check your waiting periods, and you need to check the inclusions. One of the things we did touch on, where we had a lot of contact in the week to clarify income protection information, was exactly that. What's my waiting period? What's best? What could I do? And how should I hold the cover? One thing we did touch on last fortnight was you may be better off holding cover in your own name and maximising the tax deduction, because income protection is tax deductible against other assessable income.
Mm-hmm.
And if your marginal tax rate is higher than 15%, you may be doing yourself a disservice by using super to hold the policy, because you're getting less inclusions and less benefits, and you're also then missing out potentially on an increased tax return, or a tax deduction, should I say, when you put your tax in with your accountant. Mm.
I suppose, like most things to do with investment, there are traps for new players. You've outlined a couple of them there, but it can be a bit of a minefield when you for the people that don't really study this closely.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you are studying this at home before you go to bed at night, I can guarantee you would sleep well. But you're right. We have a number of acronyms, and we have a number of things that people need to be mindful of. And the devil's in the detail, as they say. The definitions, the inclusions, and for me, it's always about making sure that clients have the right cover in the right structure for the right reasons, so that there are as many reasons or many ways to be paid as possible, because you don't want to be the person that ends up on Today Tonight missing out because of a technicality that you thought but didn't actually have.
Yeah, so ask the question.
As we say in the office, you don't know what you don't know, and a lot of my associates are sick of me saying that, because it is so prevalent, be it investment, be it insurance, be it structures. It is a minefield, and I guess we're here to hold your hand and walk you through it.
Okay, well, getting back to insurance cover, what should members keep in mind when they're looking at their insurance cover?
Look, I think the biggest thing they can do when they've got an automatic amount of cover through the PSSAP is to look at the benefit period. The default option generally has a 60-day waiting period, and the income protection policy could be paid for 5 years or more. Obviously, depending on age, income, and what your specific situations require, it's very important to make sure that your cover is structured correctly, because, as they say, all cognac is brandy, but not all brandy is cognac.
That's not a bad simile. One? Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Keep that between me, you, and the people you're going
to
tell.
Well, you're talking about a subject very close to my heart.
I'm a little young for that myself, but anyway. But look, it really is important that people make sure that it is what they need.
Mm.
A lot of clients come in and say, it's okay, I have that through my super fund. And when we point out a few of the inefficiencies of the basic cover that's in that fund there, you can see them gulp and then say, well, how can I maximise my deductions? How can I maximise protecting my family and having that peace of mind of knowing that if something does go pear-shaped, they're going to get paid quickly and efficiently.
Okay. What, just before we go to the break, are employees of the fund forced to remain in the fund, or can they use other funds if they wish?
Look, if you're employed by the government, you can maintain your membership and keep contributions going in. We always say to people that super funds are a lot like cars. You don't need to buy a Ferrari to deliver bread.
Should be more of these. They're quite good the way you trot them out.
Well, look, I think it's a case of explaining things in a way that people can understand and relate to.
And it is a complicated enough subject as it is, so if you can simplify it, go for it.
Well, that was the whole idea behind the show and behind our education program, is to take things that are difficult and try and break them down into easy-to-understand language so that everybody can get some value out of it. But look, you can make contributions to the fund if you're employed by the government in various departments. Obviously, if you have missed out on being a PSS member, taking into account when you started working for the government, then this obviously is the default option, and then you have the right to choose and select a fund that's right for you and find the right car for the right journey.
Okay, Maserati or whatever.
Exactly right.
Luke Smith from Envision. And we're talking about acronyms, and I guess there is an acronym of the week that's NCC, which I'm sure means something other than the National Crime Commission or something like that, which you imagine it might stand for, but it doesn't.
Look, spot on. I'd say you're exactly right, Rod, but we both know you'd be lying there. Right, so NCC, that's one that we hear a lot in the superannuation world. It stands for non-concessional contribution. And for listeners saying, well, what does that mean? There are two ways that money can go into superannuation. One, you can make a deductible contribution. That's known as a concessional contribution. And we can also make a contribution as a non-concessional contribution, which, as the name implies, there is no tax deduction claimed. Now, it's important to keep in mind here that the legislation changed in relation to these contributions on the 1st of July, and the maximum amount of contribution that an individual can direct to superannuation is $100,000 a year or $300,000 over a rolling 3-year period. So it's a very good way to add to superannuation with large capital amounts if you've sold a property, inherited money, received a redundancy, stopped working, and have had other cash that you want to then put into superannuation to maximise the level of tax-free pension that may be available. It's something that is a really good piece of legislation that obviously has been diluted a little from the 1st of July, but it is still a good one to use as part of a planning process nonetheless.
You mentioned changes coming in on the 1st of July, which came in on the 1st of July, didn't
it? Correct, yeah. Yep, that's right.
Changes are always seem to be happening in this sort of thing. How do you keep up with them?
Well, I spend a lot of time reading, believe it or not.
Well, you do, but how do other people keep up with them?
Well, that's exactly right. So a good way for people to follow up and check things and spend a little bit of time on the iPad before they go to sleep finding out what they don't know is to take advantage of the use of our Knowledge Centre. So we have a huge resource on our website. And we have 5 access licences every fortnight for listeners to call up and get free of charge. And that'll give people 12 months access to a huge library of written, video, animated material where they can touch on some fairly complicated matters, listen to it in English, get a grasp of what may or may not be appropriate for them. And then obviously, if they do have questions, they can contact us in the office and we can tell them what they need and sort of define which car they need to be driving into retirementville.
Okay. Is information generally hard to get? I mean, if you want to sort of go, I guess you can sort of throw the net out on Google or whatever,
yep.
But is it readily available? And how much of it is conflicting?
Look, I think things are very open to interpretation. I think with the digital age, anything's at our fingertips, be it on an iPhone or an iPad or whatever device it is that you use. The important thing is understanding the application of the legislation. Anybody can read about what is there and what's available. It's then about being able to apply it to specific situations for each person because not everybody's the same and everybody has different objectives, needs, time frames and things of that nature. So, yes, it is available. It's then important to be able to put it into context and maximise the timing of specific things so that you can get the most out of your retirement assets.
I know this is a stupid question to ask, but I'll ask it anyway. Is it absolutely essential to have a financial advisor, or is it something you can actually go alone?
Oh, look, it's like most things in life. Anybody that knows me knows that my hands are definitely not for physical labour. I'm no good at building anything, and I know that, so I'd hate to confuse ambition for ability. I always say that if you need a sounding board or you need to ask the question, it kills me when people come in and say they found out too late.
Yeah, and that happens a lot.
Really frustrating for us in our industry because, as you touched on, the legislation changes all the time, and being up on the most recent strategies and what you can do, taking into account how often things are being amended, risen, dropped, and anything along the way, you can go it alone, like anything in life. But I think there's a lot of peace of mind in knowing that somebody is a specialist in a certain area, and I guess that's why I pay for electricians to come and change my lights and painters to come and paint the house because I don't want to get in trouble with my missus.
I can understand that. I can understand that. I can relate to that.
Exactly right.
Okay, we've got an update, by the way, on the Parksway crash. At least one person's been taken to Calvary Hospital in Bruce. But traffic in that area is crawling. I'm still trying to find out which direction it's on. Whether it's on Parksway. It's near the Glenlock interchange, we know that. And we're still not sure which direction is affected, but we're chasing it up. And as soon as we know, you'll know. We'll pass that straight on. Okay, we've been talking a lot about superannuation. Is that the safest? Is that the safest investment these days?
Oh, look.
And I suppose define safest.
Exactly right. I spend a lot of time working with people trying to understand risk profile. And the best way I've found to try and get people to understand the intricacies of that is to liken it to driving a car. Okay, if you drove down Northbourne Avenue at 160 kilometres an hour, there's a fair chance you wouldn't be able to talk your way out of a ticket, okay? That, for me, is high-risk investment. And if you drove down Northbourne Avenue at 40 kilometres an hour, you'd have a procession of people behind you beeping their horns, potentially hurling abuse at you, and you'd probably be late for wherever you're going, okay? That could be cash and fixed interest.
So you need something in the middle.
So if the speed limit's 80 down Northbourne, post the train being built, driving between 70 and 90, there's a very good chance that you'll get where you need to go. You generally won't be late. And there's a fair chance that you're not going to get a ticket. So making sure that you use the right resource for the right reason, be it super, be it property, be it cash, be it international investment or whatever it is that's specific for your needs, it's then about saying, what am I getting? So what's my strategy? What's my structure? And then what is the investment?
Yeah, a mate of mine who's a financial investor, or financial advisor, I should say, and a pretty big one up in Brisbane, he said, you know, you've got to have a plan.
Correct.
You've got to have a plan. And
correct.
I guess that's basically common sense, but how do you devise that plan? Can you just give us a thumbnail sketch of how you go about devising a plan?
Yeah, sure. So we start with why. Because for me, the investments, to continue the car analogy, they're just the wheels on the car. You wouldn't go out and buy tyres and then walk into a dealership and say, what do these fit on?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make sure that you start with why. Why am I doing it? Why am I considering my options? And what do I want to be able to do? And then we can work backwards from there. Because if your goal in life is to retire at 50, there's very little point funneling money into superannuation because you may not be able to access it.
Yeah.
So having an understanding of the end game is just as important as what we're thinking about today, because the decisions that we make now and moving forwards can have a direct impact on the outcome that we're trying to achieve. So why are we doing it? What are we going to do? How can we best use the structures that are available to us? And that could be a personal super fund, a self-managed super fund, an industry fund, a family trust, and a range of other options. Mm. And then how can we manage the assets driving at a speed limit that we're happy to maintain so that we can sleep at night and be able to get to the end of the journey without too many tickets, without too many crashes, and without too many people getting upset because we weren't moving quickly enough.
You explain it very well. You really
well, did again, it's just about trying to find an analogy that people can follow and not get lost in the detail.
You mentioned a little while ago about you hate hearing the words or words to the effect that if only I'd have known this earlier.
Mm.
I suppose another thing that you got to sort of keep in mind that if you're looking at investment, one is, you know, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is.
Very much
so. It's a pretty time-worn adage, shall we say.
Very much
so. The other sort of thing that...
The modern-day Bitcoin.
I don't go there.
And that's general advice. That's definitely not specific for the listeners.
Okay. But the other thing too is people think you've got to have lots of money before you start investing.
Look, exactly right. I think the biggest thing people can get from coming in and having a health check is starting good behaviours. And little behaviours become bigger behaviours, become bigger behaviours. And before you know it, there's an amount of money in a bank account, a super fund, a trust, kids' accounts that didn't have to be huge to start with. I think we try and instill in a lot of our clients that good, consistent behaviour over the duration is a very prudent strategy. And with the way that the government is changing legislation, we need to be doing more sooner, because gone are the days of making huge contributions right at the end before you're going to retire, because we just can't do it under the law now.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there for this afternoon. Always good to talk to you, and you'll be you're not here next week, are you?
So, we're supposed to have a show in a fortnight, which is on the 2nd of March, but we're going to have to move the show to the 5th, which is Monday at 4:30 for the listeners. So, 2 weeks from now we won't be on, but we'll just be running the show on the 5th of March at 4:30, and then we'll be back to the usual Friday afternoon every other fortnight.
Okay, you'll be with Richard Pernow by that
time? Beautiful. Sounds good. Thanks, Rod.